relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I hope the rest of the world hears you and the people. And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka, welcoming our very special guest host, the founder of Young Americans Against Socialism, Morgan Zegers.
All right, you guys, let's get started. This is Morgan Zegers, and I am so excited and thankful to be guest hosting Dr. Gorka's show again. That's right. You got a 25-year-old taking over the show today, and we're going to try and include a lot of really fun guests. I have a great lineup for you of a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds. And to start off the show in a strong, strong way, I've got Robbie Starbuck with us. Can we bring Robbie right in, and let's get started?
I'm here.
All right, Robbie, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy. Can you explain why you're such a busy guy? What are you up to these days?
Yeah, so, I mean, as many of Dr. Gorka's viewers know, he's had me on a lot for my race running for Congress. And the Tennessee Republican Party has actually removed me from the ballot this last week. So, you know, we're in a battle now to get back on the ballot. Essentially, they removed myself, Morgan Ortegas, and one other candidate off the ballot. Morgan and I were sort of more in a similar boat because we had all the Republican, you know, vouching, and we've only voted Republican and things along those lines. The third one had participated in a chaos primary, like Rush Limbaugh had told people to do. So they had technically voted for Democrats, so they're kind of treated a little differently under the bylaws. But in Morgan and I's case, they just essentially took us off, and they have no good excuse for doing it. We fit all the standards that are necessary to be able to be bona fide and to be put on the ballot. So now I'm in a fight to make sure that this is allowed to happen because, you know, what's really scary about it is it's so similar to what you see happen in communist countries. You know, my family came from Cuba, and they had a central committee that essentially chose puppet candidates of the party, and people had very limited choices. Well, here we have the state executive committee. The state executive committee is who met and voted to make sure that I would not be allowed back on the ballot. And so it's sort of a creepy parallel from where my family came from to now, and more of a warning about how big government and allowing these sorts of things can become a real big problem, because now essentially people's vote is limited by stripping out the top two candidates. Morgan and I were polling number one and two in this race, and to take us out means that now people only have choices that are folks that frankly are easily controlled by the Tennessee Republican Party.
I see. Okay, so is that why they're doing it? Because they have a candidate that they would like to run that would maybe toe the line a little bit more? Or what's the purpose of doing something like this? Because you have been running for so long at this point, and I mean, I'm not even from the state, but I've known about your race for a long time. You have amazing grassroots support, and so I was just kind of baffled to see that you weren't being embraced. What is going on here between these grassroots candidates like yourself that get so much support? I mean, even Sean Ryan. I love Sean Ryan and the Sean Ryan Show, and you were even on that. So you're getting a lot of support from people that have never usually participated in the political discussion in this way. What's the difference between you and your candidacy and what's going on with the party and the candidate that they want to support?
Well, you know, to be perfectly honest, it's kind of bizarre because, like you said, grassroots-wise, our support is incredible. I don't think anybody in Middle Tennessee has seen anything like it with a congressional race before, where, I mean, the number of volunteers we have on the ground is just nuts. And to see the party pull away and essentially kick out the two most, you know, sort of Trump-aligned candidates, especially me, you know, very America First populist, this is just not the direction of some of the leadership there, where it's much more establishment-y and sort of more the Romney-esque era. And it's, you got to understand, I mean, remember we had Bob Corker and Lamar Alexander, not exactly like America First, you know, populist MAGA candidates. They were very, we'll say, hard on President Trump. And so I think that this is sort of an extension of that, where you still have a lot of those voices in the room who are just given too much power and control. And I think that, you know, it led to a situation where some of the good old boy backroom politics won over, you know, what fairness and really being American requires. Because here's the thing, is I'm not just fighting for myself to get back on the ballot. I'm fighting for my opponents to get back on the ballot too, because that's what America's about. Our voters here deserve to be able to choose between all of us and decide who they want to represent them, you know? And so I think that if you value sort of that bedrock of our country and those foundations our founders fought for us to have, and so many people literally gave their lives for us to have, we just can't allow this stuff to happen in America.
No, I appreciate that you're doing that. And that's where a lot of my confusion sets in. So I'm not really a political person in the sense that I'm good at monitoring political campaigns. But when I saw Morgan entered the race, that threw me off because I said, that's quite strange. And then there was the issue of the endorsements and everything. And so when all of the new news broke out about you being removed, I thought that had something to do with it. But then when I found out you were both taken out, I was just even more confused. And so I think for average Americans like me that are frustrated with the status quo, that are getting more involved and aren't necessarily politico experts, we're really thrown off by this and we're confused because isn't the left the bad guys? I mean, is it just that the establishments in general are against the American people and transparency, and it's an issue of too much power is going to the heads of people, they want to maintain control? Or what's going on? And then an interesting thing to add into this question, I was doing a speech at Colorado School of Mines recently, and one of the students said, I'm more of a Romney-esque type person, and I don't understand why a lot of these cultural issues are taking the attention of conservatives when things like women's sports and if a boy participates in the sport or not matters, or women's bathrooms protecting those, why does it matter when there's bigger issues at hand? So I feel like there's just such a big sense of being out of touch between the establishment GOP and candidates like yourself that have such strong platforms supported by the people. Do you notice that trend in differences as well?
I do. I mean, especially between, you know, the establishment and sort of the people. And that's what it is there's a group of people, and I think it's on both sides, sort of a uniparty, who they're just divorced from the lives of everyday people. And I think the reason you see them unable to understand why cultural issues matter is because they're divorced from it. They don't experience it. Whereas, you know, in my case, I'm acutely aware of the importance because I know that the history of Marxism means that step one is destroying our culture, because if you don't have a culture, you don't have a set of borders, you don't have a country. And so they attack all those things first. You know, those people that are sort of, you know, living in their safe little bubbles in the establishment, they don't experience it, so they don't realize how much of an effect this is going to have on the existence of our country and on the existence of freedom for our children and grandchildren. And that's probably the most favorable way I could say it to them, is that they just, like, they don't get it. And so, you know, and there's many cases where it's more nefarious than that, and it's actually that, you know, they're just out for their own greed. But the reality is that there's a lot of forces at work to try to stop the people, because I think when you really look at it, like, the reason that we were doing so well in polling and with people and volunteers is because normal people see this stuff as common sense. You know, it's not really something that there's a whole lot of disagreement on in terms of, should we let boys go play against girls and pretend they're girls? Your average person thinks that's crazy. You know, so this is something that is really just sort of like inside politics division and fighting, because among normal people, this is not a controversial thing to talk about. And so I think that that's where some of this gets lost with the establishment. And they fear people like us because they know they can't control outcomes anymore. You know, because let's take a look at something like healthcare. You know, Trump said a lot of things about healthcare that traditional Romney-esque Republicans have always feared saying because it meant their corporate bosses would be angry at them or their corporate donors would be angry at them. And the reality is that there's just certain things that are common sense. You know, a middle-class family doesn't choose for their child to be born with diabetes. And, you know, if their medicine's $3,000 a month, they can't pay to live their normal life. And we have to have an answer for that. If we don't, and the answer is, hey, just let the markets figure it out, that doesn't work for a lot of people, you know. But there's a middle ground of sort of being able to have common sense and not have what the left is going to prescribe, which is socialism.
Yeah, I mean, and you can especially talk about these issues because of your family's story. Robbie, can you stick around for one more segment for us? And I want to get into the micro and macro solutions of this. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
In November of 2020, the Democrats were up to no good. They were planning to pull off the greatest scheme of election fraud ever. They didn't think we would catch them, but we did. Find out what they did and how they did it in the new documentary film, 2000 Mules, directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker Salem's own Dinesh D'Souza and executive produced by the Salem Media Group with research from True the Vote. 2000 Mules tells the story of criminals who tried to hijack a presidential election. You'll see the actual video surveillance footage. You'll see how we tracked the mules by their cell phones to box after box as they got paid to carry out this illegal scheme. Watch the movie, decide for yourself. Attend the limited release premieres on May 2nd and May 4th. Check out your local listings. Get your tickets today only at 2000mules.com. That's the number 2000mules.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Whose Children Are They?
All right, you guys, welcome back from the break. We are still with Robbie Starbuck, the congressional candidate from Tennessee that's experiencing quite the corrupt situation there. He was explaining in the last segment. But Robbie, I want to focus this section on solutions, both at a micro and a macro level. So first of all, what are you doing right now? What are you guys doing as candidates? Are you working with Morgan to coordinate against this corrupt situation? Or what's the latest update in this?
No, you know, we're very focused on our fight. So we've kind of looked at every legal option that we can, you know, deploy here. And I think that we're sort of near the finish line in terms of what we're going to go and deploy. But we're going to use every option that we have to ensure that we're going to be on the ballot for people because, you know, the people have fought too hard for us and we've just put way too much in. I mean, we've been running for about a year. And this is un-American. So I think that we have a duty, especially given that I've been blessed to have, you know, a large, you know, following and everything like that. I have a duty to stand up for all the people who are going to come down in the future that may have this corrupt sort of backroom deal used against them being able to run. Because this isn't just happening in congressional races. They're picking winners and losers in all kinds of races up and down the ballot. And that's not how this is supposed to work in America. So, you know, we're going to take a stand against it and try to set a new precedent in terms of giving people the right to be able to run and let voters decide. I mean, really, at the end of the day, what they're saying is we don't trust voters. We think they're either stupid or dangerous, you know, and that's a horrible message to send, is we don't trust you enough to decide for yourselves. So either they think voters can't figure out what a real Republican is, or they think that they're going to pick a Republican that the party deems is too far right, you know, whatever that means. And so, you know, we've got a duty to fight, and we're going to. We're definitely not going to roll over for these people and say, oh, well, we'll try against next time. All shucks, you know, maybe we should have played the game a little better and kissed the ring. Like, nobody should have to go kiss the ring. It's about representing people, and the only people that you should be worried about pleasing are the people in your district who are voters.
Yeah, I love that. And it's such an important lesson that we all kind of have to learn. I mean, it's a hard lesson to learn because over the last few years, we've seen so much corruption coming from the left. I mean, I remember the uproar from when Hillary Clinton basically used the DNC and partnered with them, kind of a kiss the ring style, to eliminate Bernie Sanders from the race. And we all thought that was disgusting. I think he would have won in that situation, not against Trump, but I think he would have won the primary if he was given a fair shake. But there was coordination behind the scenes, and it's because the establishment works together in coordination with the media and everything. But it's the really hard lesson that we have to learn that it's not just the left that does this. The right is very much guilty of doing the kiss the ring style establishment corrupt inner party workings. And it's not enough to just go on election day and finally show up. Yes, we need to start showing up more. That's the first thing. But we can't just vote down ballot for whatever Republican person is in the general election, because we have to participate in the primaries. We have to participate in the selection of our candidates. And that means becoming a member of the committee. I mean, I'm shocked to find out most people don't even know how to get involved at the local level. I mean, there's town committees, and then there's county committees, and then you meet as a state, and everybody works together to coordinate the structure of the party. And so just like in our federalist system, as voters and as citizens, we have forgotten what our role is as individuals within the party and what our power can really be. So it's really a shame, but it is a wake-up call for a lot of people. Now, on a macro level, I love your family's story, and you can attest to this. The issues that we're facing now in America are so similar to the timelines that other countries have followed as the left gains power. And this is in pretty much every country that succumbs to radical leftism, including Cuba. We just had the news come out, and we're going to talk about this in more segments for everybody who's sticking around for after Robbie leaves. But this new disinformation governance board put out by the Biden regime. Robbie, can you talk to us about what your thoughts are with that, considering your family's history, and what on a macro level you were hoping and are hoping to change once you get into a position of power to represent your community?
Yeah, well, again, you know, you go back to what I was talking about earlier with Marxism. This is one of the key tenets. Like, you've got to do this. You've got to take over the media. You've got to take over what the truth is to bring Marxism to fruition. You know, it's a very simple thing. Marxism has never happened in a country that is happy and unchaotic. You have to create chaos, you know. And so what has this administration done? They've professionally created chaos. I mean, it's like it's their job every day of the week, 24/7. If you go through that lens, suddenly you realize it's not that they're doing a bad job. It's that they're doing exactly what they set out to do. Because the goal really is to usher in Marxism in America, but in a new format, you know, because some people may look at it and go, well, this isn't the exact, you know, sort of structure Karl Marx had laid out. Well, this is a very different world. What we're going to end up seeing is more like an American CCP. And that's what the Biden administration is rolling out. And, you know, obviously they did this in Cuba, too, where they took control of the media and they started to define what the truth is. And suddenly, you know, not speaking what they deem to be the truth goes from being an infraction societally and socially to then being something that silences you, to then being something that actually requires severe punishment toward people, and in some cases even killing people or throwing them in prison. And so that's where this goes down the line. And so it's very important at the very first step, people say, no, we will not allow this, we will not comply, and that we have bold leadership that knows that you need to stand up and do something. So I think, you know, in a legislative mechanism, there's a lot of different things we can do in Congress to go and limit the government's ability to be able to go and intrude on people's speech. I mean, we already have constitutional rights that should not be abridged. But beyond that, I think legislatively, we have a lot of tools we could use to make the government even more susceptible to the people being able to stop them from sort of overreaching into these areas, because you can't allow our government to ever turn into that kind of machine. And the problem is that right now it has the power to do that. And so we've got to strip that power from the government.
Yeah, I love something that sticks with me ever since I had this conversation with him, I think it was a handful of months ago, I did an interview with Paul Gosar about what he thinks went wrong with the structure of our federal government specifically. And he cited the fact that the legislative branch gave up its power for deciding the funds and spending power and decision-making power in terms of creating laws. They handed it over to the executive branch's bureaucracy. And that's where you see the creation of a lot of these committees and bureaucratic agencies that are used to do things, handle disinformation. I mean, this disinformation board, I don't know if you saw this, but it came about because there was a question during a hearing on Capitol Hill, and the man who exposed that it was even created in the first place said it was created to handle disinformation being spread to Hispanic communities across the country, because he said conservatives and people spreading disinformation are using Spanish-speaking ads and stuff like that. And that alerted me because my friend Giancarlo Sopo brought a lot of attention to this when he was on the Trump campaign in 2020. They got so much traction in the Hispanic communities because they were starting to run Spanish-speaking ads, and they were doing actual outreach, because it turns out Hispanic communities have more values that align with conservatives than these crazy woke liberals.
Yeah, Democrats fear the Hispanic community coming out and becoming Republican voters. And let me tell you, it is happening. And I am going to make a prediction. Over 50% of Latinos in the U.S. will vote Republican in 2022. And it's going to be the story of the election. Latinos have had enough. You know, myself, even here in Tennessee, I'd be the first Latino representative ever federally. And I actually have 10% Latinos in my district. I guarantee you, if I'm on that ballot, we are going to have over 55% of the Latino vote here.
Oh, my gosh. Robbie, well, I'm really excited for you. Thank you so much for spending the time doing this. Good luck fighting back against the local and state corruption. We'll have to stay tuned with your story. Good luck. Thank you.
Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code GORKA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code GORKA. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code GORKA. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA.
Now, what's funny is I keep always dancing to this music, and then the producers told me that the only people that can hear the music are the radio people, so the people watching the video can't actually hear the music and just see me dancing to nothing. So that was a really great turn of events. Sorry for everybody that had to witness that. You guys, speaking of fun situations like music, I have a fun guest for you, Alex Stein. If you haven't heard of him, Primetime 99, Alex Stein. Sensation.
They can't even see that on the radio. I'm already going crazy, Morgan.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your very busy day. You're a small businessman and an internet sensation, apparently. So praise be. Thank you for joining.
That is true. And as my sister in Christ, I appreciate being here. And let me tell you something. Being a viral sensation is not easy. It's a lot of pressure. And a lot of people have been like, oh, Alex, congratulations on all your success with your viral videos. Going viral is a terrible thing, Morgan, because now I'm like, what am I going to do next? I've already worn women's swimwear to a city council meeting, and like, I'm literally going to have to jump in a fire and light myself on fire next. I just don't know. The pressure is it's overwhelming sometimes.
Oh, my God. Okay. So if people are listening and aren't aware, he's very satirical. And that's the whole point. Alex Stein is hilarious and goes and makes fun of the crazy lefties, the wokists at city council meetings and government public hearings where you can speak directly to your representatives. And so, Alex, don't hate me, but I have a clip that I want to show of you in the women's bathing suit. So if we could play that, producers.
Hello. How are you guys doing, council? So my name is Alexandria Stein, and I'm here today to call out transphobia here in Plano. I'm currently being restricted from swimming in the City of Plano Swim League against the women, even though it's clear that I reassigned my gender last week. Like, for example, do I look like a man? Obviously I'm not. This is a woman. But they're not going to let me swim and compete against the ladies because of transphobia. So what I need you guys to do is I need you to wake up. We have champions like Leah Thomas. She's an NCAA champion, the best swimmer in college today. I can't get a scholarship unless I'm able to send a recruiting tape to these colleges. So they say, oh, you have an unfair advantage, Alexandria. What looks like, does this look like an unfair advantage to y'all?
Alex, can you explain what that was there?
Okay, Morgan. So what that is, that's a crazy man that was dropped on his head as a child that has a lot of social issues. And what he decided was, is he going to do what is called culture jamming, as in where we take the most absurd parts of our culture and we jam it in the public's face to try to bring awareness to how crazy the world has become. So people are like, oh, Alex, you're a genius. I am not. That is a pure indication that I am mentally ill. I'm not a genius. I am just willing to push the envelope and do anything for attention, because we got to bring attention to some of these issues. Like, first of all, I don't want to be considered transphobic at all. You know, I'm not that. But just imagine we're letting a guy that swam on the women's team for 3 years take a year off and then compete against the women at the highest level of the NCAA. And for me, I think that's ridiculous, because think about all the girls that spent their entire life in a swimming pool. I think that goes against women's rights. So it's really just, I'm just highlighting the absurdity. I'm just putting a mirror to the crazy world that we all live in.
I think that's a really great way of putting it. And people think, oh, he's just a jokester and he'll do things that are crazy and put on a women's bathing suit. And I feel bad for the radio people that weren't able to see that. But you truly were standing in a public government building in a women's bathing suit. And I think that it's actually just so righteous of you to do something like this. And I really appreciate that you're doing it, because it may seem like a women's issue and like a small thing of we have to protect women's sports, but to me, I see it as, first of all, this is protecting objective truth. We have to have some basis of reality. And so this is not just a little issue of, oh, women deserve fair competition and a little sports thing so they can also win trophies. I've heard conservative men say things like that of, it's just a little issue in culture. We shouldn't be focusing on it. First of all, it's not a little issue. It is protecting objective truth, and I'm glad you're doing that. And second, why are we leaving it to women to have to save and protect these issues all alone? These should be things that men in the movement are also focusing on and taking care of and leading the voice and conversation on. I'm sorry, but you can't put women out there and be like, well, you guys got to go handle your own problems. I think men, especially in the conservative space like you, need to be doing this, and so I'm glad that you're leading that charge. Thank you for doing that. Do you feel like that's a responsibility of yours?
Well, honestly, yeah. I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, they say, you know, there's like in the conservative world, there's the anti-feminism. But no, I think men should be responsible for lifting up and protecting. That's just natural. Like, that's the natural order of society. But this is where people say, oh, it's a small deal that Leah Thomas is swimming against the men. But in this day and age of helicopter parents that want their kids to be good athletes, I know that there's going to be some parents out there that try to, you know, gender reassign their children at a young age in order to get some sort of, advantage in sports. And that sounds crazy, but that's really the world we live in. There's a joke that they say, you know, having a trans kid and having a vegan cat is the same thing. You know who's making that decision? The owners, not the vegan cat or the trans kid. So this is a very big issue. This goes against women's rights. And yeah, more people should stand up for it. Because listen, like I said at the beginning of things, I don't even want to be an anti-trans person or transphobic, which somebody wants to label me. They need to be in their own division. That's how it needs to work. We need to protect women's sports. And it is a big issue, because when they see Leah Thomas being successful, more people, copycats, are going to do this. And it's just going to bring an influx of confused children into the world.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, speaking of all of these like general topics, there's a lot of current events that are going on that make me think of you and the work that you do. One of them is the recent doxing of Libs of TikTok. And Dr. Gorka had Libs of TikTok, the creator, actually on for an interview a couple days ago. So that was really cool, because I've always loved the account. And she does something similar to what you do, which is basically take the left and put a mirror up to their face and make them see the horrifying reality of what they've become. And they can't stand it. And all she does is take the original videos that these especially public school K through 5 teachers are posting about what they do in the classroom, like exposing that they are trans, explaining that gender is something when the doctor guesses the gender of a child when it's looking at a newborn baby and just guesses based on the physical features of the baby, and how it can be wrong sometimes. The doctor can be wrong with its guess. And so, libs of TikTok, when you see it, the videos go viral. It's had 1 million followers, that account, and it got doxxed because the left is aware of how influential something like that can be. It's similar to laughing at the regime, and this is something that's been seen in a lot of communist regimes before, where the people that often are most impactful in holding it accountable and bringing people's attention to it are the ones that can make a joke of it. And so that's why things like Winnie the Pooh not allowed in China, because people were comparing Winnie the Pooh to Xi Jinping. And so have you been seeing the attacks on libs of TikTok? And sorry to get a little personal, but are you concerned that the left would want to go after you in this way as well? We have about 1 minute before the segment breaks.
No, I'm sure they are going to come after me. But, you know, real quick before the minute ends, I want to say this. When you talked about how China, Xi Jinping, protects Winnie the Pooh, these same companies that are fighting against the Don't Say Gay bill, like Disney, they have to airbrush John Boyega because he's an African-American off their poster, off the Star Wars poster in China. They have to, edit all the gay mentions in The Beast of Dumbledore. So these multinational corporations that pretend to be on the side of social justice do not even follow through in the other countries that they're in. Like, for example, Saudi Arabia. They never post a pride flag on June for, you know, Gay Pride Month. So these companies don't have our back.
Oh, geez, that's a really great, great point that you brought up there. And what's even more funny with big tech, we'll get into it, but like every time I post an interview with a survivor of communism in China, we get demonetized because big tech says we're spreading misinformation. So it all comes full circle. We'll talk about it in the next segment. Thanks, Alex.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Stand With Israel Tour.
All right, you guys, welcome back from the break. We are still with Alex Stein, Primetime 99, Alex Stein, a really, really great new voice in the conservative movement, putting a, what are you, you're kind of like holding up a mirror to the crazy radical woke leftists. Alex, so what are you doing tomorrow? Can you tell us? Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So tomorrow I'm planning on going to a Trans Pride Festival here at the University of North Texas, which is in Denton, a suburb of Dallas, about 40 minutes from my home. And I know at this Pride rally that it's, you know, it's going to be very combative. The people there are not going to like me. They're already talking about on Twitter that I'm probably going to be there as an agent provocateur of the GOP, is what they like to call a GOP operative, is what they call me.
Oh,
so yeah. So I'm going to be there, Morgan. Hopefully I don't get, I'm sure I'm going to get hit with something, but if we get it on tape, it's all about the content, baby, as they say, so it'll be worth it as long as we can get it on camera.
Right? I mean, content is king, and that's the thing. When we talk about actually having an impact, the only thing that is going to get people to first open their eyes, because that's the first challenge, get people to be aware of this stuff and start to care, it's going to be crazy stuff like this, of seeing an innocent person like Alex Stein, who does what you do get hit with a concrete milkshake. No offense. I hope that you do not, but it does help to – if that happens, whenever they do behave like that, getting the actual footage of it is insane. And that's why Libs of TikTok to me just blows my mind that it's not like they're trying to hide this stuff. And so on the mainstream media and from the government, Jen Psaki, she has these press conferences – and they all say there is no critical race theory teachings in K through three or K through 5, and there is no sexualized content, and there's no discussion of transgenderism and pronouns and all these inappropriate things with our children. And then you can go on Libs of TikTok and hear a kindergartner teacher explain how, oh, today in the classroom, I explained to my kids that the beginning of my name isn't Mr. or Mrs. It's Mix, M-X, and then my last name because I'm trans. And then I told them that doctors just guess your gender when a baby's born, and they're often wrong. And so it just doesn't add up at this point. And this facade that they've created is breaking, I think, because of the work that you do and independent content creators like Libs of TikTok, yourself, and a lot of your friends. I mean, you've got a lot of funny friends. My thing, I'm kind of curious what you think about this TikTok stuff. About the Twitter stuff. For me, I think Twitter is interesting in the sense that, like, yeah, you could put out some links to stuff, you could put out short form content, and it's great that we could have more of a voice on that space. But I'm more concerned about the fact that there's larger platforms like Google and YouTube and Facebook and Instagram where we're trying to put out long form content and actually have longer discussions about these things. And that's where we're getting cut off. I mean, even when I was promoting this show today of, hey guys, I'm guest hosting Sebastian Gorka's show. I'm going to have a Marine on that was fired for getting the vax. I'm going to have Alex Stein on. I'm going to have Yakub Boyans. I had to censor myself in the way of, well, I can't tag Sebastian Gorka because he, according to Instagram, has shared too much COVID misinformation. Mm-hmm. And so I physically could not tag him to even say I was going on a show. When I had to type out that a Marine that I'm having on got fired for not getting the vax, I wasn't able to type out that specific sentence because I know that that would have gotten me flagged for spreading COVID misinformation about vaccinations. So I had to say something along the lines of, got fired for not complying with the jab. And it's like, we have to tiptoe around spreading the actual information. And I wish that we could have a bigger impact than just Twitter. What are your thoughts as an independent content creator?
Well, Morgan, I mean, it's just plain and simple. We do not have freedom of speech. The technocracy controls the narrative 100%. One of the biggest videos I had was the rap Prayers for Ukraine. And in that video, the reason my idea for it was is I was going to call for the assassination of Vladimir Putin, similar to what Lindsey Graham did, similar to what other people did, because on YouTube, they said that was fine. They said on the approved social media narrative, you cannot say anything against Ukraine, but you could call for the assassination of Vladimir Putin. So that's where we're at, is we don't have the ability to speak freely. We don't have the ability to talk about anybody getting injured from a vaccination. We don't have the ability to say that the election might not have been 100% correct. If you do, you'll immediately get deplatformed, or you lose your account, or get the post taken down, or get a strike on YouTube. So the idea of free speech existing, it does not exist on the social media platforms we use. So the only way that we can do it is with the way of Libs of TikTok, and the way that I do it is just by using satire and using the controlled, approved narrative and just culture jamming it into people's faces so they realize how absurd the narrative really is.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm curious because you are using this satirical way. It's probably one of the most effective things that's been done in a long time in this new space of media, especially for conservatives. But you're also quite involved and you use it in a way, not that you're weaponizing it, but you're utilizing it to have a real world impact. And I know, I mean, even with some specific stuff with the Dallas City Council race that I want to talk about. Now we're already getting into another break, but we have one more segment with you and I want to hear what you're doing in Dallas with your activism. So stay tuned, you guys, because he's actually quite up to something, isn't he?
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.